Please and turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll be using a few verses in chapters 12 and 15 a little bit later on. And also, if you'd like to open your bulletin to the inner fold, there's a number of verses outside of Romans 12, outside of the book of Romans in general, that we'll be using this morning. We've been doing a series of messages called Our Church, and the title of this morning's message is Growing Together in Fellowship. Or perhaps I could say Growing Together by Fellowship or Through Fellowship, for it's by fellowship one of the ways that we grow. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we pray that the Word would be fresh to our hearts and lives. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would have great joy in realizing this provision that you've given to us in regards to fellowship. And Lord, that we take all the advantages that you have planned for us. May we get this right. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. It was a small country town with a population of about 250. And as you know, in a town of that size, nothing happens without everybody knowing it. So when a removalist van pulled into town, the pastor went over to say hello. I'll let the pastor tell the rest of the story. He says the man was pleasant, and he quickly revealed that he was a Christian. More than that, he was a Baptist. And since this pastor says he was the Baptist pastor in town, I was hot on the trail of a potential addition to our little church. Remember, there's only 250 in the town. So I pursued even further, he says, by asking where the man's membership was. Where did he fellowship? I belong to the Dale Baptist Church, he proudly replied. The pastor writes, I was a little perplexed at this information and simply responded, well, I'm the pastor of Dale Baptist Church and I've never seen you before. Well, I don't attend, he acknowledged, but I was married in that church 5 years ago. It was clear, this pastor writes, that this man had been brought up in Christian culture but didn't have the foggiest idea of what it meant to have a relationship with God and a relationship with God's people. I have found, he says, that many people are not sure what it means to be a Christian, not sure how to relate to God, and not sure how to relate to God's people. One of the most neglected areas of our great salvation is this matter of fellowship. Fellowship. Boy, I've heard some fuzzy stuff about fellowship. I've heard messages that made it sound boring, when in fact it is one of this great joy, it's one of the great joys in this world of pain. I've heard other messages where they spent so long trying to define fellowship that you end up being confused what it really was. Fellowship is more to be experienced than defined. Fellowship is a relationship. It's a relationship of love, first with God and then with God's people. It embraces just about everything in the Christian life, for the Christian life is always family life. It is not individual life. We are not islands. We're connected to each other. I was so blessed last Sunday as I came in from standing at the door outside and I was looking around. Everybody was chatting to someone else and the conversation seemed to be so animated. It was hard for me to spot anyone who wasn't talking to someone else. That's great. And I only want to be a conduit, as it were, to increase our interconnectedness. I want to enhance a web of relationships between us. Certainly not just a hub of relationships between pastors and people. And so we need to explore the subject of fellowship today. For two messages, we've been looking at how to grow together. And so far, we've seen that there are four ways to grow together as God's people. Number one, we will grow together as we pray together. Number two, we will grow together as we worship together. We will grow together as we bear one another's burdens. And we will grow together as we serve together. Praying together is fellowship. Worshipping together is fellowship. Praying together is fellowship. Bearing each other's burdens is fellowship. And serving one another is fellowship. All that we have looked at so far in this series is fellowship. and yet we've only begun to skim the surface of how we can grow together through fellowship. The New Testament emphasizes again and again how we are to relate to one another as God's people. In other words, how we are to fellowship. I did my own research this week and I found over 30 commands as to how Christians should relate to one another, how we should fellowship together. Many of those 30 commands are repeated and repeated and repeated, so that, for example, we are told 18 times to love one another. 18 times it's emphasized in the scripture. There are more than 30 other commands, and many of those are repeated and repeated. In fact, fellowship is so emphasized in the New Testament, I would call it a required skill to enable us to grow. To put that in context, other life skills that will help us to grow is spending time in the Word of God and spending time in prayer. They will help us to grow, but fellowship will help us to grow, and that's what we emphasize today. It is impossible to grow properly as a Christian without fellowship. The Christian life is a life of relationship, and we will not grow as Christians isolated from each other. It is impossible to obey the more than 30 one another commands that are there in the scripture without being in fellowship, without being in relationship with each other, without being here. As I scanned these one another commands, I could discern three distinct groups. And this morning we're only going to have time for the first group. The first group of one another commands for us to obey are commands that we should do to promote fellowship. The others, by the way, are commands we should not do. There's going to be some negatives. Commands that we should do to maintain fellowship. But this morning we look at commands we should do to promote or encourage fellowship. Now, I've said these are commands to obey, and that's true. But obeying them is not a problem. It's not a heartache. It's not a chore. Obeying these commands is the way to live. It is love, it is joy, and it is peace. It might help to see some these as tips to fully experience the Christian life. You'll want to follow these guidelines. Nevertheless, want to or not, they are required of us as Christians. I'll take them in the order that they occur in the New Testament. The first tip to promote fellowship is seek peace. Seek peace. Jesus is speaking and he says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 50, "Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." The Lord Jesus is speaking and he says, be a genuine Christian. Have salt. And the way that we can see, one of the ways that we can see that we're a genuine Christian is the way that we relate to other Christians. A genuine Christian will have peace with his brother. I was trying to discuss a doctrine with someone last week, but the person I was talking to didn't want to discuss it at all, and when I asked why, they said because they had heard too many arguments over that particular doctrine. Isn't it sad that Christians argue? Yes, it's sad. And more than that, it's sin. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 says this, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. He must not argue, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility." Circle that word humility, would you? "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth." Christians are going to have differences over doctrine. It's legitimate and helpful to have discussions over doctrine. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens his friend," or sharpens the countenance of his friend. And this can happen through discussing of doctrine. We come to truth as we talk it out together. But the attitude when we have differences and talking them out is always to be one of humility. Scripture is black and white. Scripture is definite. But our understanding of Scripture is often grey. It is far less than definite. You see, sin hinders our understanding of Scripture. Church tradition perhaps hinders our understanding of Scripture. Our own personalities come into play as we read the Scripture. And sometimes pride in not admitting that we've made a mistake hinders our understanding of Scripture. We dare not be proud. We must be ready to learn. Discussions are good. Arguments are sin. Jesus said in Mark 9 and verse 50, "Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." Peace promotes unity, which is also commanded in the Scripture. Romans, and now we turn to our Bibles, Romans chapter 12 and verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble." Again, notice how humility and peace is associated, unity and peace is associated with humility. "Do not be wise in your own opinion." Peace and therefore unity comes from humility. So we could draw a little diagram, perhaps a triangle. You'd put at the apex of the triangle humility. We could have arrows going down to peace and unity, and then arrows between those two at the base. Here's Paul's prayer for the Romans, and indeed it should be our prayer for each other. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5 says this, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace and accompanying unity brings great glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's deal with some realities. Some people, and I'm not saying necessarily there is anyone like that here today, some people, however, are just very difficult to get along with. They are not just interested in contributing their opinion. They're not just interested in having their say. They want to push their own way. They walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. They walk in pride. I am right, others are wrong, and not in humility. As such, they are divisive. It's not healthy to have aggressive people who walk in the flesh in the local church. It's really sad, but sometimes a divisive member of the body has to be dealt with for the sake of the body. Titus chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition." It's like amputating a gangrenous limb. You do that in order to save the body. It is an act of love to the body of Christ to deal with a divisive man or woman. But the attitude from all must continue to be an attitude of humility. Peace with one another is commanded. Unity with one another is commanded. These are commands to a local church. It's impossible to have that peace and unity with people I don't know beyond the local church. Humility, peace and unity are valuable and they're beautiful. They should be highly prized by Christians for the character of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Mark 9 and verse 50 says, "Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." The second tip to promote fellowship is have love. Have love. Love for one another is so emphasized in the New Testament that it would be correct to say fellowship is a relationship of love. The first of the 18 commands to love one another is in John 13 and verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Underline those words, love one another. "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." Underline them again. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And so underline those words the third time. Three times in one breath, Jesus says, love one another. And that's the first three of the 18 times it's repeated in the New Testament. Love for others will show genuine concern for them. There's a heart of compassion if there is love for others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25 says, the members should have the same care for one another. Love for others will also lead us to act in service to them. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, through love, serve one another. So there should be a heart of concern and the action of service. Love for Christians in this local church and indeed in any local church should continue to increase. It's not just enough to have it, but we must continue to work at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. And Hebrews 10 and verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Part of the reason we meet together is to encourage each other in love for each other and for the Lord. Our love for each other is a family kind of love. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers. The men here are my brothers, and the ladies here are my sisters, and that's the kind of love we are to have for each other. Now, we cannot say we love God if we don't love one another. 1 John 4 and verse 12 says, if we love one another, God abides in us. If we don't love one another, God does not abide in us, and his love has been perfected in us. 18 times we're told in the New Testament to love one another. Have we got it yet? One author explains fellowship, or the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia is the practical expression of God's love towards his people. I want us, he says, to become well acquainted with this word because it is where God's love is manifest in real life. Koinonia is agape, or God's love, in action. It is how we experience the fullness of God's love for his people and in his people. So, you cannot be cold or rude to any Christian in this church and say that you love God. You cannot be cold or rude to any Christian in this church and say that you are in fellowship with God and with that person. I've been a Christian about 9 months. Just 9 months when I moved to Newcastle. And there in Newcastle I didn't know a soul, but I did have a couple of church addresses. The first Sunday morning I was there, I went to the closest church in the morning, but no one spoke to me. I was a brand new Christian, looking for a church home, but they failed to talk to me, let alone love me. I went to another church that first Sunday evening, and I couldn't get away. To greet, to accept, and to communicate are just the very first steps of love. Later, people from that church began to invite me into their homes and show hospitality to me. Let me tell you, hospitality, especially to singles, as I was then, is an act of love. It includes singles into God's family. Later again, some of the young men started to pray with me and share my struggles with me. We'd meet every week on a Tuesday night. And I had a lot of baggage to leave behind as a young Christian. And they battled those things through with me in prayer. And later again, when I surrendered my life for full-time service, and by that time, Nolly was part of the picture too, people in that church supported us financially. That was an act of love and an act of fellowship. All those things that I listed, from the initial greeting to the hospitality to the caring prayer and the financial support, were all acts of love and fellowship. Agape love between Christians is fellowship. It's love to welcome someone to church. Romans 16 and verse 16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Now, it doesn't have to be a kiss. Perhaps I wouldn't like to be kissed by some, but it does have to be holy. And that greeting does have to be warm. That means it's your responsibility to get to know who are regular attenders in this local church. So as soon as someone comes and visits, you recognize them straight away and you're able to go up and welcome them. It's of course important to warmly welcome one another, but we may only get one chance with a visitor to extend love to them, and so we've got to take that opportunity. It's love to invite someone home to lunch. Now, if you do, it's going to be extra work, but you better not complain about that, because 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Can we do it? One pastor gives this testimony. "My wife and I have had 5 children. When our children were young, not many people were brave enough to invite our family of 7 over for a meal. But gathering around the table with other believers is a wonderful way to keep connected, and it encourages others in the Lord. If you know some single parents, or I might add some single folk, who are struggling, ask them to come to your home for a meal. You'll have no idea what it will mean in encouraging them. Don't let other believers in your fellowship struggle alone. Intercept their life before they get discouraged and fall away." Love. Hospitality as an expression of love. Just live a life of love like Jesus, and you find that your fellowship will be so rich and so satisfying at every level. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." And the verse goes on to say, "And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Exclude no one. If relationships go sour, put it right. We must. There is so much to enjoy in fellowship. What a tragedy to miss out. Seek peace. Have love. And the third tip to promote fellowship is be kind. Be kind. Kindness, of course, is the activity of love. Now, concern or care is the heart of love, but kindness is the activity of love. We find so many of the one another commands relate back to love, and that ought not to be surprising to us, for love is the whole law. Specifically, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." And on your sheets, Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted." As Carol lay in her bed in the coronary care wing of the hospital, she felt very much alone. Her family members had been that day and been very supportive, but now they had gone. After they left, her fears were back, and along with the pain in her chest, they gave a feeling of overwhelming despair. With eyes closed, she prayed, "O Lord, I know you're here with me. No matter how I feel right now, I know I am not alone. Calm me, Lord. Give me peace. Let me feel your arms around me, holding me." As she prayed, her fears began to subside. But God wasn't finished yet. With a growing calmness, Carol opened her eyes to see the warm smile of her friend Marge. Her friend's arms encircled her in a big and wonderful hug, and Carol felt like God himself was embracing her. Kindness. Sometimes that means just being there when a friend's mother dies. Kindness, or it means teaching a Sunday school class with an overburdened friend, or kindness, like Marge, may mean being available when a Christian brother or sister needs someone to listen to them or to give them a hug. Make peace. Have love. Be kind. All that makes for sweet relationships, deep and meaningful fellowship, enjoying the Christian life. Now, that's how it's possible to have joy shut up in a stinking prison. There's another Christian there. Can have fellowship. The fourth tip to promote fellowship is be selfless. Be selfless. Again, you recognize being selfless is another aspect of love, because 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us love does not seek its own. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Listen, in honor, giving preference to one another. Be selfless. In honor, giving preference to one another. And 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 33 says, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Put that other person before yourself. Be selfless. Love puts others first. Besides, it's commanded, and it's part of good fellowship. It's also common courtesy. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, and that means to one another. A uni student seldom meets selflessness in the university environment. Much more likely, people in the university world will meet other people that are after their own selfish ends. One university student writes, often the people I meet in school are hard to live with. During one exam, two students, one on either side of me, asked if I would help them to cheat. When classmates cut class for no legitimate reason, they asked me if they can copy my notes. People whom I've called friends have let me down, and I'm afraid to be hurt again. Sometimes I feel I am merely a means to an end, and no one cares about me as a person. The same student continues, to respect others, to care for others, help others, comfort and ensure that another person's needs are met before thinking about ourselves is very hard. It is difficult enough to make an effort to be caring toward other people at all times, but to honor another person above ourselves seems to be an impossible goal. However, she says, when we love others with God's unconditional love for us, that goal can be reached. Selflessness and kindness promote fellowship when expressed between Christians in a local church. A fifth tip, indeed, let me underline command, that will enhance fellowship is give comfort. Give comfort. Comfort is that kindness that occurs when there has been a great loss and grief has followed. Perhaps a Christian family member has died. Comfort meets grief in its need. Paul gives this counsel in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify or build up one another, just as you also are doing. And James gives us this advice in regard to prayer. James 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The scripture gives us hope of being reunited with Christians who have died before us. So Paul says again in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. So from these scriptures, we learn that we can bring the comfort of the scriptures to someone that is grieving, and we can surround them in prayer. That, brothers and sisters, is lovely fellowship. This is not a burden to us, is it? Isn't obeying the one another commands our joy? Because we're members of each other, we bless each other in the body, and then the benefit returns to us. Love is kind, and kindness comforts. Comforting the grieving is meaningful fellowship. We will grow together in that environment of fellowship. A sixth tip that will enhance fellowship is service. All of these acts of obedience blend together, these six of them, blend together to consist a life of fellowship with my Lord and with my local church family. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 commands, as each one has received a gift, and we're clear from Corinthians, every Christian has received a spiritual gift. As each one has received a gift, minister or serve it to one another as good stewards of the manifold, the many-faceted grace of God. We are to serve each other with the gifts that God has given us. How good it is to obey. How good it is to be able to build up the body. Much of this ministry of serving each other with our gifts occurs in the context of worship, like what happens here, everything that happens here on a Sunday morning. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 explains, be filled with the Spirit, result, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now to speak and sing to one another, we've got to be together. We speak the truth to each other. We sing godly hymns. We sing biblical psalms. We sing spiritual songs. And that is the Christian philosophy of music right there in that verse, by the way. But as we sing to one another, this is a teaching ministry to each other. As Colossians also makes clear, Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And what do you do with it? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To be able to exercise our gift for the benefit of the body, we must know what our gift is. And the best way to learn what our spiritual gift is to start serving. The best analogy for all this is the analogy the scripture uses, and that's the analogy of the body. Consider a child who needs to grow. Now to grow, they're going to need food, aren't they? The central nervous system, the muscles and the bones, the digestive system, the blood and the circulatory system will be all involved in that child eating and incorporating that food into their body and thereby growing. Every member of the body is needed for that child's growth. And it's the same in the body of Christ. It is through fellowship that we're able to grow. Any member of the body not functioning may limit growth of the body. If the arm's not working, I can't get that food to my mouth. If the digestive system is not working, I'm not able to absorb or incorporate that into my body. To grow together, we must fellowship together. And that fellowship together includes making peace, being loving, being kind, being selfless, comforting those that are hurting, and serving one another. They're all facets of how we can grow together. To be what we should be in fellowship to others. Now, just think of some person. Perhaps think of the person in this room that you find most difficult to get along with. Now, the scripture says you are to love them. The scripture says you're to serve them. You're to be kind to them. You're to care for them. That's going to extend you, isn't it? To do that to a person you don't get along with too easy. And so as we function in these ways, we will grow in Christ. Or to put that round the other way, they being what they should be to us, if they minister love and kindness and selflessness to us, that will feed my soul for growth. And so it's win-win. As we function like this, I grow as I give, I grow as I get. How good is that? When we fellowship as the New Testament commands, we are going to grow in love. Being part of those who attend this local church, there is a responsibility to each other. There is a commitment. If this is where you regularly worship, you have a commitment to other people in this body of Christ, even if you are not yet a member. I like what one pastor wrote. He says, receiving members into the church family is another moment when individuals are challenged to live in covenant or in promise with God and his people. Whenever a person feels like God is leading him to join fellowship with a local congregation, he is at the same time entering a covenant or a promise with that body of believers. This pastor says, I would always ask those who come to our church four questions. First, have you personally repented of sin and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? May I also ask you that question today? You must do that to be a Christian. Repent of sin. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Second question, have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism, picturing his death and resurrection? Maybe there's someone here who needs to be baptized. Would you commit yourself to that? It's the first step of obedience in the Christian life. Third, he would ask, do you believe that God is really adding you to this body? If they responded yes to those three questions, then he would ask, would you enter into a covenant or promise with God and with this people, allowing him to work through you to strengthen you, to strengthen and build up this body? And if the person said yes, then he'd turn to the congregation and he'd say, would you enter into a covenant with this person, committing yourselves to pray for them, to walk with them, and to help them to become all that they should be in the Lord Jesus? To pray for them, to walk with them, and to help them. That's what's involved in growing together through fellowship. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for God's people who are here today. And we thank you that you've given us this rare relationship in the world called fellowship, a relationship of love to one another, a relationship that you have put in our hearts because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as we extend ourselves in love and kindness and selflessness, as we comfort others that are hurting, as we extend ourselves in these things, that we would grow in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you so much, Lord, when we have experienced those kind of ministries to us from other believers in the body of Christ. Oh, Lord, we're just so busy. We're running in circles in this present world. Oh, I pray that we would have time to stop and savor the fellowship that is possible in the Lord Jesus, to enjoy being family. I pray that you'd bless this church. I pray that as people enter here, they would see that we love one another. I pray, Lord, that it would be a flashing beacon. It would be a lighthouse. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that people would be drawn to you because of what they see in us, because you have done it in us. Oh Lord, we need to impact this community. I pray that you would work through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the song that I've